Good morning once again, church family and friends. Nice to have you joining us this morning, whether you're here in person or worshiping with us online. Thank you for tuning in, or thank you for walking in, one or the other, but thank you for coming together to worship the Lord with all of us today. And let's hope and pray that all of us can build our lives on the firm foundation of a relationship with Christ Jesus. And that's really what it's all about, isn't it? Draw close to Him so His love can flow through us and in us, and He can change the world through our surrender lives. He's a firm foundation that will never fail, never fail you. Well, let's continue to mention a couple of prayer requests and things that have been happening in recent weeks here at First Baptist Church Lithonia. First of all, continue to pray for and share ministry opportunities. I was sharing with the church family earlier that we just finished our church vacation Bible school. It was much different than usual. We did most of it outside, and of course, our numbers were much smaller. But praise the Lord, we had 19 children come and one adult. And we had a great 4 days of vacation Bible school, and I'm sure that God is doing a great work in all those young people's lives. And so pray for them as they continue to grow and we get opportunities to continue to minister to them. This week, we're going to be doing another vacation Bible school. It's going to be in the backyard or garage of Joe and Krista's house. And our church family, most of you know who Joe and Krista are. So pray for their vacation Bible school at their home. Also, if you have a property and you've got some children in the community around you, let us know. And let us help you put together a good neighborhood vacation Bible school. And we'll keep the numbers down, but we will not dilute the message. We'll get the message of Jesus out there so that people can hear about His amazing love and grace. Also, thank you for your continued prayers and all your financial support and contributions of tithes and offerings. God has continued to provide for First Baptist Church Lithonia. So thank you for giving to God and just allowing us to be able to just be His hands and feet in the community around us. By now, you've heard me mention so many times the different ways that we can give that I think you've got it memorized like I do. So just thank you for giving. Thank you for being faithful. We're doing the best we can to use all the tithes and offerings to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to grow our faith stronger and stronger. So thank you for your faithfulness. Some special prayer requests and some praises I want to mention. The first prayer request that we've had on our list here for about a month has been a young man by the name, well, a boy really, a teenager by the name of Hunter. 16 years old, was in a terrible car accident. Do you know that he might actually be able to be released from the hospital on Thursday? And I'll tell you what, that's worth a round of applause. Amen? All right, God has been so good. Really, he's going to be a walking miracle, a walking miracle. That's how bad it was. And so let's pray that God finishes his healing work in Hunter's life. But thank goodness he hears our prayers and he answers. Also, Miss Jane had a procedure this week, a surgery really, and she's doing very well. And so pray for her as she heals up. We also want to be in prayer for Lane, who also had a surgery recent months ago, but she's got some treatments coming up. So pray for Lane. Pray for God to do a great work in her life. Also, we want to continue to pray for Samantha. She is going to be facing an upcoming procedure as well, and she's in the process of treatments right now. And so pray for God to heal Samantha completely. Last week, I mentioned an older gentleman by the name of David that had been diagnosed with the coronavirus. Well, I'm happy to tell you, we prayed for him last week, and he went back and had another test, and guess what? They didn't find any corona, any COVID-19, so continue to pray for him. They're going to be doing other tests, but I firmly believe that God answered our prayers and healed him up, and so let's keep on praying for him and his family. I actually got a text message from Versette earlier this morning, and she's just not feeling good. Had a tough week, and so let's pray for Miss Versette. Also, Charisse continues to need our prayers. Let's always pray for her. I found this out from one of our deacons this week that Frank and Dorothy, I'm not sure who they are, but they're actually family of one of our church families. They got diagnosed with COVID-19. And so pray for Frank and Dorothy. Let's pray for God to heal them up and pray that they'd be able to get through this quickly. And also, I heard that Nazalene wasn't feeling so good this morning either, so let's pray for Miss Nazalene. Medical workers and first responders that we want to pray for. We want to pray for Melanie and Jennifer, Jean, Mark, Blake, Carmen, Becky Joy, Matt, Michelle, Trevor, and Dr. Harold. Those are the names we know in person. And anybody that's in the medical field that you know of, let's lift them up in prayer. And let's pray for all of them. I know that they're talking about more cases of COVID-19, so let's pray that God can just put an end to this terrible sickness. But let's pray for all our medical workers and first responders as they minister to us, that God would keep them and their families safe. We also have a couple of families that need some extra comfort today. We want to pray for the Allen family. This is relations to the Hensley family at our church, and David is here. The gentleman that went home to be with the Lord was actually the brother of David's wife, Laura. And so most of us that are part of our church family know, but the family name is Allen. It was just a total shock to the family, and we all know that makes it that much harder. And so pray for the Allen family, that God would comfort them as only He can, and minister to every need that they have. And let's reach out to them and do all we can as a church to come alongside them. Also, we want to pray for a deputy at the Rockdale Sheriff Department passed away with COVID-19. And so the last name, it was Deputy Minor. Some of you know him. I know that Jonna knew him and many other people. He was in and out of the schools often. He was a wonderful man, Deputy Minor, so pray for him, for his family as they grieve as well. We also want to pray for our country. We need unity. We need peace and reconciliation and healing. And really what we need across our land and across the world is revival. So let's pray that God would do a work in our hearts and do a work in our country's hearts so that everybody can love each other the way we're supposed to. And we can come together. Times like this, we need to come together, amen? We need to come together and love each other the way we're supposed to. So let's pray that we hear a lot more about that on our news and with each other. Also, we want to pray for our leaders. We've got local leaders that are just facing very difficult challenges, things that they never thought they'd have to deal with. So let's pray for our local leaders and our mayors. Let's also pray for our state leaders. Let's pray for Governor Brian Kemp and the Lieutenant Governor and all those that work with him. Pray that God would just give them wisdom to make some very wise decisions. And also, let's pray for our national leaders. We want to pray for President Donald Trump. We want to pray for Vice President Mike Pence. And, of course, they have a large cabinet and medical advisors that work with them. Pray that they can make some wise decisions that would bring the leadership that we need and the decisions we need. We also want to pray for our police and law enforcement officers. They are on the front lines and trying to do a very difficult job. Pray that they can help keep peace and order throughout our country. And just pray that God would protect them as they serve us. And also we want to pray for our missionaries. We've got lots of missionaries out there that are on, and can imagine how their ministries have changed. So pray for them as they try to tell people about the love of Jesus and try to introduce people to a relationship with Him. Let's pray for all of our missionaries and our military as well, including the National Guard, which has been on call very often in recent months. And so let's pray for them as they serve. And once again, we don't want to neglect this. Let's praise the Lord for answered prayers. Amen? He hears our prayers. He is listening as we call upon His name. I know that there's things that are weighing heavy on your heart that we haven't mentioned today, but don't you know God knows? God knows those needs. He knows those concerns. So let's go to our great and mighty God in prayer this morning. Won't you join me? Dear Father, we bow before You today. We give You all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, Lord, because we know, Lord, that You are worthy. We thank You, Lord, that You love us. You love us just the way we are, and You've got amazing plans and purposes for each and every one of our lives. Father, we just pray that You would bring revival to our hearts today, that You would just wake us up from our sleep and our slumber and help us, Lord, to just be excited about the great and mighty God we have the opportunity to know, to walk with, and to serve. And just pray, Lord, that You'd help us to carry that excitement to this world that desperately needs to know You. Father, we do pray for revival across America. And pray, Lord, that You would let it begin with each of us today. Father, we also pray for all those that are facing medical concerns or surgeries or sicknesses. Father, we pray that you would be the great physician, that you would just show up mightily and just continue, Lord, to do miracles in our midst. Help us, Lord, to always recognize that when something amazing happens in our life, it is because of your intervention. So, Father, we pray that you would receive all the glory that you deserve and that you would continue to heal us from every sickness and every infirmity. Father, for those families that just need extra comfort today, think of the Allen family and the Minor family and the Hensley family. Father, we pray that you would comfort them as only you can, that you would just help them, Lord, to find hope and peace and even joy in the midst of these difficult days. And then, Father, we pray for our leaders. We pray for our country. We pray for our first responders and medical workers. Father, we pray for all those that are on the front lines today. In whatever capacity they are, Lord, we pray that you would keep them safe. And just pray, Lord, that you'd help them to do their job well. Give them wisdom, Lord, to make wise decisions. And Father, we just pray that you would just bring us together as a country. And especially, Lord, bring us together as family as we call upon Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. If you'd be kind enough to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 7 today. Luke chapter 7, as we continue a sermon series that's called Life-Changing Encounters. Life-Changing Encounters. All right, that's a mouthful to say, by the way. All right, maybe I should have come up with a shorter title for the sermon series, huh? I'll take that into consideration next time. Well, today I'm not going to tell you the title because it's going to tie in well with my trivia question that I want to get started with today. I always try to come up with something interesting to kind of tune you in. So here's the trivia question. I'm going to mention some artists, some musical artists today, and I want you to think about what they all have in common. I won't name all of them. I'll just name some of them. Celine Dion, Jennifer Rush, Huey Lewis and the News, Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Joe Simon, Laura Branigan, Air Supply. There's actually one on my list called Hot Chocolate. I'm not sure about that one. Holly Johnson, Martha Reeves, and the list goes on. There's actually 17 different names on this list, and you can thank me later for not mentioning all of them. But the question for us is, what do they all have in common? Any guesses? The Huey Lewis and the News kind of gives it away for me. They all have a song by the same title. And the name of that song is The Power of Love. How many of you were, it was just on the tip of your tongue, you just didn't say it. All right, we got one, we got two. All right, same generation as me, so you know, probably know a little bit about Huey Lewis and the News then. All right, in my pre-Christian days, all right. But in any case, they all have the same song title. Now, some are original songs with the same title, and some are also covers of the same song. But the question we want to ask ourselves, which ties in with our sermon today, is why so many? Well, here might be the reason. Because love just might save your life. That's what Huey Lewis and the News. By the way, I got to see him in that concert at the Worcester Centrum back in, I think, 1985 when he was making this tour. And so I do remember that. But love was the reason. When I say because love just might save your life, love was the reason, first of all, why Jesus came, right? For God so loved the world. So love was the reason why Jesus came. Love is the what compelled Jesus to go to the cross, and love is the reason he wants to have an encounter with each and every one of us. Love is the motivation. Love is what motivated God to reach out to us with his saving grace. Does that make sense this morning? Love is the reason. And so you can imagine love is very, very powerful. Now keep in mind when I talk about love this morning, I'm talking about the love that comes from God. I'm talking about the love that works in our heart, the love that wants to put somebody else's needs ahead of your own. That unconditional agape love can definitely change the world. I can say it changed my life. Can you say it changed your life today? I hope you can. The power of love. We're going to talk about one of those life-changing encounters. And we're going to find our text today in Luke chapter 7, 11 to 17. Luke chapter 7, 11 to 17, we're going to talk about the power of love today. Verse 11, it says, "Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, 'Don't cry.'" Verse 14, "Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, 'Young man, I say to you, get up.' The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. 'A great prophet has appeared among us,' they said. 'God has come to help his people.' This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country." Isn't that a beautiful passage? Let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Dear Father, we thank you that you are a miracle-working God. We thank you, Lord, that all things are possible when we call upon your name. Father, we especially thank you that you are a God of love and comfort today. Lord, we know that it broke your heart to see this mother grieve. And Lord, we know that it breaks your heart when we struggle and grieve today. So Lord, I pray that we would not only hear about your love today, but we would be able to experience the power of your love and what you can do in our lives, because you are a miracle-working God. We love you, Lord, and pray that you'd be glorified today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first thing we're going to see here, the first point on your outlines today, underneath the power of love, is that Jesus ministered to the hurting. He ministered to the hurting. In fact, he went out of his way to minister to those people that were going through struggles. We know, first of all, he's the defender of the brokenhearted. The defender of the brokenhearted, letter A on your outlines. This encounter that we're talking about, as I've mentioned to you many times, the Gospel of Luke is in chronological order. So if you look at the preceding verses, you can actually see it's one of the divine encounters that we've already talked about. It was the divine encounter where the Roman centurion emphasized or demonstrated amazing faith. You might say mountain-moving faith, where he believed that all Jesus had to do was speak the word and his servant would be healed. Jesus didn't even have to be in the same room. All he had to do was speak the word, and God could do a miracle in his servant's life. And of course, he found that to be true, didn't he? God is a miracle-working God. And so this encounter that we just read about actually just follows the encounter that we just talked about. And so Jesus and his disciples, that miracle that I just mentioned was in Capernaum. Well, now the Bible tells us that Jesus moved on. Keep in mind, he traveled. The miracle that he does here is actually in a town called Nain. The town called is Nain, N-A-I-N. It's actually about 10 miles south of Capernaum. By the way, it's only about 6 miles from Nazareth, where Jesus primarily grew up. And so you might say Jesus was pretty familiar with this area. And so he arrives in Nain. We know that large crowds were following him. Now, we might want to ask ourselves, well, why were they following Jesus? Well, first of all, how many of you know that Jesus was doing things that nobody else had ever done? He was doing miracles, and it caused them to be curious about who this man might be. Not only that, Jesus spoke like no other man had spoke. He spoke with power and authority, the very words of God. And perhaps the people were curious about, perhaps this is the Messiah. Who is this miracle worker, this traveling preacher, this man who speaks like none other? Perhaps they were wondering, and you better believe they were watching. They were paying attention so that they could be the first to realize whether Jesus truly was the long-awaited Messiah. And so the large crowds were following him. In verse 12, we see that as he comes into the city of Nain, or the town of Nain, somebody else is coming out of the gate. You say, well, who's coming out of the gate? It's a funeral procession. a funeral procession is coming out of the town gate. And so literally you can imagine Jesus and the crowds that were following him, they kind of meet this funeral procession and it's coming out of the gate of the city or the town of Nain. And we find out that we see a mother here who lost her only son. A little bit later, we're also going to find out that not only did she lose her only son, but she is also a widow, which that adds a lot to the situation that she was in. A mother who lost her only son. The custom of that day when anybody really passed away or the Lord called them home, the custom of that day, of course, was to prepare the body. They would clean the body. They would wrap the body with linen. They would, as we know about Jesus' burial, they would put fragrant spices in there as they prepared the body. Then the custom of the day was actually to put the body on a stretcher, all right, and to literally carry the body to the burial site. Now, here's where it gets a little bit interesting. The family, of course, would be part of this procession, but there would also be hired mourners or wailers, all right, that the family would actually hire. Can you imagine having that job? I don't know if you'd have to try out for it or what the deal was, but you'd be a mourning and you'd wail loud enough so that everybody in the town could hear you walking by. And then out of respect in that day, when you heard the mourners crying and you saw the funeral procession, your job as a respectable citizen of Nain would be to join in the funeral procession. It was kind of your way of showing respect and coming along with the family. So you can imagine that as they went through town, you can imagine the group would expand and grow. And so you can imagine it was a pretty big group that Jesus and the disciples were about to meet. Now in our day, we have customs about burial and funerals too, don't we? Here's a couple of them. First of all, usually there'd be a procession of cars from the church to the graveside service. We know about that. Oftentimes it would be led with a motorcycle police is usually the way I see it done today. A lot of times when the funeral procession goes through, the cars will pull over. If they're coming on the oncoming traffic, you'll see they'll pull over out of respect. Here's something that's unique to the South. I didn't see this until I came to Georgia several years ago. Actually, people on the side of the road, if you go through a busy where people are walking, which I think this is a beautiful custom, what do the people do? Most of the time they'll stop. If they're wearing a cap or a hat, they'll take off their cap as the funeral procession goes by. Once again, a sign of respect. So they had burial customs and funeral customs back in their day, just like we do today. And so that would have been the situation where Jesus faced this funeral procession that by this time had gotten pretty big. And so Dr. Luke tells us a little bit more information. Not only was this mother's only son, she was also a widow. So she had already lost her husband. She had been through a lot, hasn't she? You better believe it. Some of our church family have also been through a lot in similar ways. They need our prayers. Not only is she grieving but with unspeakable sorrow, but she is also in desperate financial needs at this particular time. So not only is she going through grief, but also facing financial concerns. Now here's the good news for us. You know what? The Bible tells us that Jesus saw her. Jesus saw her. He saw her not just on the outside, but Jesus saw her as a person, as somebody that was struggling, somebody that was grieving, somebody that needed some help. And so he saw her. He knew that she was brokenhearted. He saw her pain. And here's the good news. Jesus cared. How many of you know today that Jesus cares? You might be going through a struggle that nobody else knows about. Maybe just you. Maybe just you and your family. You're in the middle of a hardship. The good news for us is Jesus always cares. And you better believe he sees you, especially if you're his child today. The name that she used for God in this passage is the Elroy. Elroy from the Old Testament. The God who sees me. Sometimes sorrow, perhaps like nothing else, can make us feel like we're all alone. Has that ever happened to you before? You just feel like maybe you're the only one dealing with this grief and it's just a burden. The good news is, if you're walking with the Lord, you're never alone. You might feel lonely, but Jesus is always there for you because God sees and God cares. He's the defender of the brokenhearted. Look at letter B. He's deeply concerned for the helpless. He's deeply concerned for the helpless. Hebrew culture back then, I told you I was going to go a little deeper with this part. Hebrew culture back then, men were the primary wage earners. Not to say women couldn't earn a living, they could. We can see that throughout Scripture, but primarily, especially in Hebrew culture, all right, men were the primary wage earners and normally the ones who owned property. So they were the ones that brought in the money for the most part, and they were also the only ones that were actually able to own land or to own property of any type. There were exceptions along the way that we can see throughout Scripture, but this is normally the way it was. So think about this woman's situation. She had just lost her only son, so she had no son. She had already lost her husband, so she had no husband that was the primary wage earner. So really, you might say this woman had no income and perhaps no property. Can you see the situation she was in? She was in a desperate situation. By the way, even today, it can be extremely hard when a woman loses her husband, or for that matter, a husband loses a wife. You can still face extreme financial hardships. Now, keep in mind, as we think about this widow woman, it is absolutely no fault of her own. You better believe that she was a hard worker. She wasn't lazy, and I'll guarantee you, for Jesus to stop and pay attention to her, how many of you think she was a faithful woman? She loved God. She served her family well. She was a faithful husband. She was anything but lazy. She was a hard worker. By the way, sometimes I think it's harder to stay home and take care of the house than it is to go out and make a living. Do I get an amen for that today? All right. There's a lot of parents that are finding that out as we deal with this COVID-19, and all of a sudden the kids are at home all the time. They're finding out just how hard it is to be a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home dad for that matter. All right, so it's definitely not because she was lazy. She was a hard worker and she was a faithful. And you know what? God has a special place in his heart for widows and orphans. In Luke 10:18, here's what it says. It says he defends, speaking of God, he defends the cause of the fatherless, that would be the orphans, and widow, and loves the foreigner. That's all the way back in Deuteronomy 10:18. Here's another one for you from the Psalms. Psalm 68:5. Once again, it speaks about the Lord, and it says he is a father to the fatherless and a defender to the widow. A father to the fatherless and a defender to the widow. The word that's used here for Lord in this passage, it's a capital L and lowercase O-R-D. It's the word kurios, which means that he is the one that has authority and power. All right, he is the master. He's the one who has authority and power. And it says the one that had authority saw her pain and knew about her needs. He saw her pain and he knew about her needs. Sometimes I think we just need to do a better job of learning to see people like Jesus sees us. Instead of just casually walking by, look into people's hearts and lives like Jesus does. Ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom so that we can know when somebody needs a hug. Of course, it's hard to give them a hug today, I will say. But you know what? There's people that are hurting all around us. And I think sometimes, speaking to myself, sometimes I just need to pay more attention to those people that are struggling around me so that I can love them the way that Jesus reaches out to us and loves us, and also especially reached out to this woman in this particular occasion. Whatever you're going through today, what I want us all to remember is Jesus cares. He ministers to the hurting. Let's look at number two. He is motivated by compassion. He's motivated by compassion. We find this in verses 14 and 15. We see that ministry begins in the heart. We know that to be true. How are we going to minister to somebody that we don't love and care for? Have you ever tried that, by the way? It doesn't work so well, does it? Because people know when we love them the way we're supposed to. Ministry begins in the heart. Verse 13 tells us that Jesus' heart went out to her, went out to this widow woman that had just lost her only son. What does that mean when it says his heart went out to her? It means that he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion for this woman. It was his deep concern for her, his mercy and his love that caused him to take action, right? If he would have just walked by like most of us generally do, he would maybe would have said a prayer for the family, but you know, Jesus didn't do that. He stepped in and he took action. You say, well, why did he take action? It was motivated by the fact that he had a genuine concern and love for this woman, right? He empathized. He didn't just sympathize. He empathized with what she was going through. Love is the only pure motivating force with power to lead someone to step up. Let me read that one more time for you. Love. Now keep in mind, when I'm talking about love, I'm talking about God's agape love, the love that comes from God. Love is the only pure motivating force with the power to lead someone to step up and make a difference in somebody's life. What causes Christians to do what Christians are supposed to do? It's supposed to be love that Jesus put in our heart. It's supposed to be the motivating factor to cause us to do something. Last week in NASCAR, I'm not sure how many of you have heard about this story, but last week in NASCAR, prior to the Talladega race, I don't know how many NASCAR fans there are. I used to be a fan and used to watch quite a bit of it, but over the recent years, I haven't paid too much attention to it. But this story caught my attention, and you're going to know the one I'm going to be talking about. But prior to Talladega, a symbol of hatred, and I'm just going to leave it like that because we have younger viewers that are watching today, a symbol of hatred was left in the garage of a driver by the name of Bubba Wallace. And how many of you have seen this on the news? Some of us. Some of you haven't. All right. I actually didn't see it on the actual news. I actually heard about it and then tuned in and watched it on thing. You know, the thing is, well, in any case, let me go on. But in any case, a symbol of hatred was left in the garage of a driver, Bubba Wallace. Now, let me tell you something about Bubba Wallace. Bubba Wallace is the only current black driver in NASCAR. Okay? And the thing is, this symbol of hatred, it just didn't upset Bubba Wallace. It upset all the NASCAR drivers. And so here's why I bring up the story. The race was delayed last Sunday, and they didn't race until Monday. When all the driver teams found out about what this terrible thing that happened to Bubba Wallace, you know what they did? They literally, all the drivers got behind his car, pushed it to the front, and they all walked behind Bubba, pushed his car to the front of the pack and walked behind it as a show of support and unity. In other words, one of them was attacked, one of the drivers was attacked, and something terrible was done to him. But you know, all the other drivers showed their support and love for their fellow driver by getting behind him and showing him that they loved him and they were there for him. And by the way, when you watch it, go ahead and, if you haven't seen it, look it up on YouTube and watch it, because it'll bring a tear to your eye. In fact, when Bubba Wallace got out of his car, he had tears in his eyes just feeling the love. You say, well, why are you bringing this up? The reason why I'm bringing it up, and the reason why more news stations should be talking about it, because it's talking about people coming together. You say, well, why did they come together? They came together, I believe, because they cared about their fellow driver and this terrible thing that was done to him. And they wanted to show their love and support for him. By the way, isn't that the kind of stuff we want to see on the news today? People coming together and loving each other. But what do we see? We see buildings burning and hatred in our streets. You know, I think we need to highlight and talk about the things that bring us together as opposed to the things that tear us apart. Just a little note for ABC and NBC and all the rest of them out there. Let's talk about some good things that bring us together. They stepped up because they cared. And we need more symbols of love and unity and peace and oneness and Christianity across America today. And that will bring us together the way we're supposed to. In James chapter 2, verse 18, speaking about faith, James says, "Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." All right? So James, talking about faith now, says, you could talk about having faith, right? And it's okay to talk about having faith, but you know what James said? I'm going to show you my faith by what I do. I wonder if we could say the same thing about love today. You know what? We can talk a lot about love. In fact, we hear the word I love, I love, I love all the time. But you know what we need to see? We need to see people showing their love. So you might say, if we had to paraphrase and bring it, put it into love as opposed to faith, all right? James might say, you can talk about love, but I'm going to show you my love by what I do. The children talk about this. In fact, I've heard them say it. Maybe they're teaching it at schools these days. It's a good thing to teach, by the way. Sharing is, come on now, you could do better than that. Sharing is, all right. Show it. Let's show our love, all right, the way we're supposed to. Ministry begins in the heart. If we really love people the way we're supposed to, we're going to step up and we're going to get involved in their lives and do what we can to show support, like the example I just shared. Also, mourning was transformed into praise. Letter B, mourning was transformed into praise. I love this part. Jesus interrupts the funeral procession, and the first thing he speaks to the mother who had just lost her only son and says, "Don't cry." Now, you might be saying, well, why was he telling her not to cry? Surely she had something to cry about. Well, you know what? Jesus was getting ready to remove the source of her grief. He was getting ready to solve this problem, wasn't he? He was about ready to resurrect her only son back to life again. Resurrect her only son. He touched the casket or touched the coffin or touched the stretcher, whatever it was, and he turned a vessel of pain into an altar of praise. Isn't that good? He took something which was the source of the pain and the grief that everybody in this procession was experiencing, especially the mother, and instead, he turned it into a situation where God could be glorified and God could be honored. He took a vessel of pain and turned it into an altar of praise. Three times in Scripture, we see Jesus ruined a perfectly good funeral. Sounds like something Brother Jim Martin would say, doesn't it? He took a perfectly good funeral and ruined it by this amazing miracle. You say, well, what were the other situations? Well, not only did he raise the widow's son, he also raised Jairus' daughter, and he also raised Lazarus. We can read about all of those in Scripture. Three times he did this, but this one was actually the first time that Jesus raised somebody that had died back to life again. But think about it even today, because we lose loved ones, don't we? People that are precious to us, God calls them home sometimes, and we grieve. But think about it. Just what Jesus did on this day, how many of you know he's still doing that today? He's still doing it today. The truth is, only Jesus can make a sad funeral into a happy homegoing. Only Jesus can take a sad funeral. And by the way, I've been to some sad funerals. We're dealing with families that very sadly didn't have a relationship with the Lord. They didn't have hope of eternal life. They may have heard about it. They may have even spent some time in churches. But as a whole, they weren't really plugged in to a relationship with the Lord. That's a sad funeral. You know what? Other funerals are sad as well. But homegoings, we can grieve, yes, we're told to grieve, but in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, we're told as Christians when we lose a Christian family member, the Bible says that we can grieve with hope. Because we know in our hearts that really life just begins when God calls us home to be with Him. And so God, Jesus, still can take a sad funeral and make it into a happy homegoing. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, it says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" You know, for a Christian, it still hurts. Don't get me wrong. I know. I've been to enough of them myself, experienced it myself. I know it still hurts. But thank goodness it doesn't hurt as much as it would if we didn't have a relationship with Christ, if we didn't have hope of eternal life. So Jesus is really in the business of taking sad funerals and turning them into happy homegoings. Sometimes God heals in this world, and we are so thankful for that. Sometimes he takes us home, and he heals us in a wonderful place known as heaven. But you know what? He always heals his family. He always heals his children. I hope you know him as your Lord and Savior. He ministered to the hurting. He was motivated by compassion. Let's look at the third point today. Messengers were sent forth. Messengers were sent forth. Letter A, they experienced the power of the spoken word. They experienced the power of the spoken word. The three times that we had just mentioned that Jesus raised somebody back to life again, here's his words. On this particular occasion, he said, "I say to you, get up." That's all he did. "I say to you, get up." He touched the stretcher, and all of a sudden, the young man just sat up and began to talk. By the way, I wonder what he talked about. Second of all, when he met Jairus' daughter, you remember the crowd came to him because he got delayed by a woman that touched the edge of his garment. And the people came out and said, "It's too late, Jesus. Don't waste your time. Jairus' daughter is gone." You know what Jesus said? "She's just sleeping." And then when he got to the house, here's what he said. He got to the house, he said, "My child, get up." And guess what Jairus' daughter did? She got up. She got up. And then, of course, the one that we all know in John chapter 11, he stood outside the tomb of somebody that had been dead for 4 days named Lazarus. And he said, "Lazarus, come forth." That's the one I was looking for. "Lazarus, come forth. Come forth." Now, here's what I want to dwell on for just a minute with you. The word of God. The power and authority. Literally, God has the ability to speak things into being. How many of you would like to be able to do that? Let me just tell you, that would be downright scary if I had that ability, because there's no telling what I would speak into being, and it would probably goof more things up than it helped, all right? That's probably the truth. But you know what? God has the ability to speak things into being. Take something that's not and just speak the word and cause it to happen. Now, can anybody say that's power? That's power right there. Isaiah 55:11, here's what it says about God's word. "So is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and the purpose for which I sent it." The word of God is powerful. Let me follow this out just a little bit longer. In creation, we're told again and again, at least 6 different times, "And God said..." Right? And what happened? Creation happened. God literally just spoke it into existence. What about salvation from the cross? Jesus cried out and said, "It is finished." In other words, the price has been paid for all of our sin. My work is done on Calvary. He also went on and said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Jesus." Except through me, is what he said. You know what? The power of the spoken word. The enemies, one day his enemies are going to be defeated. In Revelation 19:15, when Jesus comes back at the second coming, riding on a horse, the Bible says in Revelation 19, literally he's going to, be careful of that. Literally he's going to have a sword that comes out of his mouth. And just by his word, all of the enemies of God are going to be destroyed. By the way, I'm so glad I'm not one of his enemies. It doesn't end well for the enemies. Just his word alone is enough to defeat you. And this is my favorite one, and one that ties in well with today. How many of you remember the time that Jesus was on the Sea of Galilee and the storm was raging? The boat was being rocked and the waves. In fact, the disciples thought they were about ready to die. And then Jesus stood up, and what did he say? He said, "Peace, be still." Anybody need him to say that to you today for what you're going through? You know what? The Word of God is powerful. And just like that, He can proclaim His Word, and what He proclaims will happen because He is God. Only God has the power over life and death. One day, every single one of us, unless the Lord comes back and takes us home, one day, every single one of us will close our eyes in death in this world. It's coming. We don't know when. I hope it's many years from now so we can keep on serving God and helping people come to saving faith. I hope it's a long time off. But you know what? We don't know when it's going to be. And if Jesus tarries, then every one of us is going to close our eyes in death. Only those that know Him will hear Him say, "Arise, my love." Will be resurrected just like this young man in this story. But not just resurrected to live out the remainder of his days on earth, resurrected to live for eternity in the presence of Jesus. That sounds even better to me. They experienced the power of the spoken word. And finally, we're going to close with letter B. Excitement could not be contained. Their excitement could not be contained. This young man, how many of you think he had a story to tell? Right? I wonder what he'd say. Maybe something like, "I was dead, but now I'm alive." By the way, it sounds like maybe a story we should be talking about a little bit more too. Perhaps he would say, "I was dead, but now I'm alive." And you know what the people would say? They'd say, "Well, hey, tell me more. What happened to you?" And you know what he'd say? He'd say, "I met Jesus. He was coming into the town, and I was coming out. I met Jesus, had an encounter with Jesus, and I am alive." Here's a question for us today. Do you have a story to tell? If you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you've got a story to tell, and I've got a story to tell, don't we? We could also say, "I was once dead, headed for an eternity without hope, headed for an eternity of pain and suffering, but then I met Jesus." The amazing realization of what Jesus has done in our life, it'll change you. Verse 16, here's what it says. It says the crowd's reaction. What does it say about them? It says they were filled with awe. They were filled with awe. By the way, that's where we get the word awesome. Doesn't matter. I mean, there's movies out that you've probably seen. I haven't seen these, by the way, so I can say that. I went to a Huey Lewis in the News concert, but I haven't seen these movies. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Wayne's World, all right? Others are out there, and they keep on saying a word over and over again. And you know what the word is? The word is awesome. But you know what? The only one who's awesome is God Himself. A lot of times there's a lot of abuse with that word that's out there today, but the word awesome means holy, reverent fear for God. It means literally we're shaking in our boots out of reverence for God. That's what happened with these crowds that saw this incredible miracle. They saw somebody that was dead literally sit up and begin speaking, and they were filled with a holy reverence for God. The amazing realization that you're in the presence of God, that is what awe is all about. By the way, has anybody experienced that lately? That's what we need to experience, the awesome presence of God. All the people were told here praised God. They gave God the glory because they had seen a clear miracle that could only be done by God itself. I wonder if God would reveal His miraculous power more often today if He didn't have to share the glory. Did you catch that part? You know what? When God does a miracle in our life, and He does, we've mentioned some of them already, even in our prayer time today, God is still doing miracles, but you know what? Let's give Him the glory that He deserves. He shouldn't have to share that glory with anybody. He deserves the glory. He's a miracle worker. The people in that day, they were looking at Jesus and saying, "Well, who is He?" Perhaps they were saying, "Well, He must be a man of God. There's no way that God could do this miracle through Him if He wasn't a man of God. We know He's a great teacher." In these verses, they call him a great prophet, which he certainly was. Perhaps he's even more than that. Perhaps he's the Messiah or God the Son himself. And the Bible tells us that news about Jesus spread all throughout Judea and the surrounding communities. Here's one last question before we have a time invitation today. When's the last time you got the can't help it's? You say, well, what's the can't help it's? When's the last time that you've experienced God moving in your life in such a wonderful, amazing way that you just had to tell somebody about what Jesus has done? You know what we need more in modern day Christianity? More of the can't help it's. Paying attention to what Jesus does, remembering what he has done in the past in our life, and looking for opportunities to spread the good news about Jesus. We need to get the can't help it's. Have you met him? And what has he done for you? You know what? That's called a testimony. Remember it and share it with people out there. They need to hear, just like they needed to hear back when Jesus walked on the earth, they need to hear it today from me, yes, and from you, what God has done in your life. And the truth is, he can still do it in their life today, just like he did it in your life. Three things as we close and have a time of invitation. The first of all, if you're struggling today, I want you to know that Jesus knows and Jesus sees. Jesus knows and Jesus sees. And we might add another one on there. Jesus cares. Jesus cares. Run to him and you'll find out that he's more than enough to meet your needs. You say, well, what's the greatest need that we have? The greatest need is salvation. The greatest need is to come to the cross and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on that cross for me, for paying the punishment for all of my sin. I want to ask you to forgive me and come into my life to be my Lord and Savior. That's the greatest need that any of us have. But you know what? Even after that need is met, we still have needs. And Jesus is big enough to meet those needs for you. Run to him. Second of all, do we see people through the eyes of Jesus today? Do we see people as lost? Do we see people as lonely, angry, tired, hurting, and misguided? The truth is, we should, and we do. Let's let love motivate us to step up and do something about it. Let love be the motivation, the power of love to cause us to step up and get involved in their lives. And thirdly, are we excited enough about our encounters with Jesus to tell somebody? Are you? Am I excited enough about what Jesus has done in our lives so that the next time we meet somebody, we speak up and tell them what they did, what Jesus has done for us? You know what? It wouldn't take long at all to fill this church up and to fill up churches around the country if Christians got the can't help it's and told people what Jesus had done and is doing in their lives. Let us show his love and let's speak up and share his love. Does that make sense? I don't even know if I got an amen yet today. Let me say that one more time and I'll give you a chance to say amen before we say our official amen. Let us show love and speak up and share his love. Amen. Oh, I like that. Let me have our closing prayer. Whatever your need is, God is big enough to meet that need for you. Won't you join me as we pray? Dear Father, we bow before you today. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God that loves us and a God that cares for us. Lord, you are a God who sees us. And Father, we know that those listening to my voice today that have joined us, Lord, those that are here worshiping you in person, Father, we pray that you would just look out among us and that you would see all the needs, see all of the struggles, all of the concerns. And Lord, we pray that you would meet those needs according to your riches and glory. Father, if there be one listening to our voice today that needs a personal saving relationship with the Lord, Father, we pray that today will be the day of salvation. Father, for our world that we live in today, Lord, how we need to see your love. How we literally, Lord, need to be your love. to be your hands and feet. Help us, Lord, to love each other the way that you've called us to. Help us, Lord, to love each other the way that you love us. And Lord, that revival that you bring to our own lives, help it to spread all around the country, all around our communities, and even all around the world, Lord. Help people to see Jesus in us. Lord, we love you and pray that you be glorified. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we sing. Whatever your need is, God can meet that need for you. Come.